Okay, we are learning Simon Shin Mem Hey, Sif Hey Vav. Sorry, excuse me. Simon Shin Mem Hey. Sorry, Ches. And we're learning Sif Ches, Tes, and half of Yud. So, we're still in the explanation and definition of Rishus Rabbim, public domain. Says the Shulchan Aruch, Mavois Aruchovim. Now, Mavoi is really, I don't know what the English translation of Mavoi really is. It's a street, but it's not as, strongly used as a proper, yeah, perhaps. It can be, it doesn't have to be though. There's a Mavoi which is Mefulish or not Mefulish. So it doesn't, by definition, need to be called a sack. So, Shulchan Aruch describes, Mavois Aruchovim Tezain Amme. You've got a Mavoi, a street which is 16 Ames wide. So in a certain way, to some extent, it resembles the Rishus Rabbim. Who miskatzin b'ktsoson. Now the Mishnah Berurah says, there's a Tosef over here. Miskatzin b'ktsoson oi. Oy shein bein tezayin ame ve'orkon le'orich ve'orkon le'orich rishus rabim harehem rishus rabim. So what we are discussing over here is a street which at time is miskatza, gets short, gets narrower at some point, and within some points it doesn't have tezayin ame. We discussed yesterday part of the definition of rishus rabim is that it tezayin ame is wide. Now we're learning that if you have an alley, a street, which at times is not Tezayin Ame, it's still considered a Rishus Rabbim. Similar to that, Seif Tes, Mavoiz Erechovim Yud Gimel Ames Veshlish, if you've got a Mavoi which is 13 Ames and a third wide, Veshnei Roshei Mefuloshim, and it's two ends Ame Fulosh. Again, you have a picture over here, on the left-hand side by number 26, you have a picture of what Mefulosh means. If it's right across, it goes straight from side to side. It's Mefulosh, it's right across. Here again, we've got a street which is not full, it's not completely, at some point it is less than it's required 16 amas. Imagine, I would put in contemporary times, imagine there's, road works, and therefore, the street is much shorter, much narrower at some point. So forever there's works on the road, forever, yeah? So, do you still get annoyed over them, or you get annoyed?
Part of life,
so you don't get annoyed. Yeah, I don't look at it that way, but that's the way to do it. Just look at it part of life, you don't get aggravated when there's, I get so irritated. So, imagine that, and therefore the road is less than it's required 16 numbers. It's now much less. It could be less than 16 numbers. Nevertheless, so you could argue it's not Rishus Rabbim anymore. It's broken up. It's not Rishus Rabbim. But Shulchan Aruch is teaching us, no. It's still Rishus Rabbim. Even if parts of it are not 16 numbers, it doesn't have to be consistently from one extreme to the other. Even if it's slightly parts of it are not, it will still be considered Rishus Rabbim. I don't know if it's have to be. I do not know. Interesting. We're talking over here about perhaps, I'm not sure. You could perhaps be dying from the Mishnah Berurah, even more what you're saying. The Mishnah Berurah says, Yesh oim jur Rishus Rabbim, Sifkot Chav Zayin, Kivin Rishus Rabbim, Gemura Yesh B'Shnei Roshea, since at its both extremes, at both ends, there is a full-fledged Rishus Rabbim, therefore, Voikin Bo Rabbim, and there is therefore a trespass, there is people walking across this, and people are using this as a mavui. Therefore, it's considered usage of the public. It's considered Rishus Rabbim in its own right. It means it's even if that particular part is not Rishus Rabbim, but if both extremes are Rishus Rabbim, it will be defined as Rishus Rabbim. So it appears that even as long as you need to have two ends which are full fledged 16 amas, it appears. So that's what it sounds like. Yeah. Kolda Sif Yud will only do the first half. Kolda Voshur B'Shus Rabbim. Now this is an important addition, which is follows. What's the halacha of something which is on the Rishus Rabbim? So, obviously, there's a street, but then there may be something which is on the Rishus Rabbim. And the reason why it's important to define this is, won't be a, scenario nowadays of something which is on the Rishus Rabbim. And we've got to define it, if it's Rishus Rabbim or not. What could be something which is lying on the Rishus Rabbim? What could be on Rishus Rabbim? Imagine there is the... Imagine, you've got this an electric box. They tend to be obviously on the pavement, but imagine for a minute you've got, and it's like a little bit like on the edge between the pavement and actual, or the pavement itself, which was Rabim. Okay, so let's talk about a electricity box. What color are they normally?
Green.
Yeah, one of those electric. Okay. Now I want to be able to define if you've got an item such as that on a Rishus Rabim. Because why do I need to know what's halachic status is? Because say I want to put something on that. So, is it considered that if I'm putting something on that, is it considered as if I place something on the Rishus Rabim, or perhaps not? The Rishus Rabim is the actual street, and something which is further up and a separate unit may not be considered Rishus Rabim. We've got to define not the actual street of the Rishus Rabim, we need to define something which is on the Rishus Rabim. What happens if you've got a chair on the Rishus Rabim? You suddenly realize you've got your keys in your pocket, and now you want to put it somewhere down. And suddenly, as you're walking, you suddenly see a chair, a little stool or something. Can you put it there, or is it considered as if you place it on the Rishus Rabim? What's the halachic status of something which is on the Rishus Rabim? And that's what Sefiul is going to do. Kol davar, anything shehu b'Rishus Rabim, which is in the Rishus Rabim, im einu gevur shloshu tfachim. If it is less than 3 tfachim, how much is 3 tfachim? Yeah, like this. Yeah, 3 tfachim. Afilu im koitzim, even it is thorns, hoitzoya or waste, personal waste. She'ein Rabim doyesin alem, the people will not step on it. Chashuvim kekarka is considered karka. Ground. So we're learning now. Anything which is less than 3 tefachim is considered Rishus Rabim. Now, what's that afilu? Why is it saying of even thorns? A bunch, like a whole pile, a heaped up thorns. Yeah? Or the other example is tzoya, waste. So why is it afilu, even? Even that is considered Rishus Rabim. What does that mean? Even that is Rishus Rabim. Even thorns. What's the chiddush of thorns? That's right. Although this is something that people will not step on. And the definition of Rishus Rabim is, it's Drisa's regal, it's Rabim Boykimbo, it's that people walk on, people use it for public domain. So something which is, those items, although they are disturbing access, and they are disturbing people going through, nevertheless it's considered Rishus Rabim. Why? Because it's less than 3 tefachim high. Chashuvim kekarka, it's considered earth, Rishus Rabim is Rishus Rabim. Ve'imu gvoya shloshe, what happens if it is higher than 3 tefachim high? If it's higher than 3, but less than 10, so if it's 3 plus tfachim, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 tfachim high, v'loy tisha bechla, but it's not over 9 tfachim high, if it is 4 tfachim wide, ala bo, 4 on 4 tfachim, then have a kamelis, it's defined as a kamelis. So, if something is, in other words, something which is 3 tfachim low, to the ground is part of Rishus Rabim. If something is 3 tfachim plus up to 9, with 4 on 4 tfachim, that is considered a kamelis. If it's less than 4 tfachim on 4 tfachim, it's a mokum ptur. We're going to stop over here, but this is really important. So just to summarize, Rishus Rabim is public domain. Everything which is on the Rishus Rabim, if it's less than 3 tfachim, then it's considered Rishus Rabim. If it is more than 3 tfachim, all the way till 9 tfachim, the halacha is, it's a kamelis, as long as it is 4 tfachim on 4 tfachim wide. If it is less than 4 tfachim on 4 tfachim wide, and higher than 3 tfachim, it's a mokum ptur, which means you can actually put something on it without being chayv. A postbox, gentlemen. Postbox, I'm talking about the physical post. Do you remember those days? Physical post? Not the ones that you press enter, yeah? The mail, snail mail, yeah? So that a post box. So now, if you've got a post box, you could, you have to, what's the lock of a post box? Can you put something on a post box or not?
If it's
less than 9 tfachim, if it's higher than 9 tfachim. Okay, so I don't know, let's assume that it's less than 9 tfachim. It is probably higher than 9 tfachim, I assume.
Right.
It is. This is. And pull a hand in 10. Okay. So, but okay. So, If it's less than 4 and 4, it will still remain a Mokum Patur. If it's less than 4, then 4. And more than high will be the Mokum Patur, yeah.
It's only a karmness between,
if it's
between
3.
More than 3.
Ah, less than 4 and 4, yes, you're right. If it's, yeah. Less than 4 and 4, then it can only be Mokum Patur if it's between... Yeah, it will be Mokum Patur. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so I can't think of... Or can you think of an example of something which will be Mokum Patur? When... I don't know. Oh, yeah, that sounds... Oh, yes. Yeah, so that sounds like a Mokum Patur, yeah. Good. So if it's more than 3 tefachim, less than 9, less than 4 and 4, put on it your keys if you find them, and you put the tissue on it, yeah, if you find it. Okay, fine. Okay. Simon Shin Lamed Vav. Steve Hay. We're now going to talk a little bit more about the malachas relating to things that grow. Sivhei talks about asovim, grass. It's not really grass. Sha'olu al oizen akli, which have grown on the borders, on the edges of a vessel. Malachus akli, from the moisture of the kli. What do we call them? What do we call this? Moss. You've got an old, you forgot the mug outside in the, for years been outside, and that moss grows on it. Okay, so it's grown from the moisture of the kli. Now, this question is as to whether you're allowed to toilish it. If you tear it away, if you pull it off, is that considered melechas toilish, yes or no? Are you considered disconnecting something or not? Shulchan Aruch is teaching us, and I think this is a big chiddush. What would you have guessed? You've guessed no. I also would have guessed no. But, unfortunately, we would be wrong. But Shulchan Aruch is teaching us. So, asovim grass, sha'olu al oizen akli, which has grown on the edge, on the board, on the handle of the kli, milachus akli, from the moisture of the kli, chashuvim kemechuba, is considered mechuba, connected, lekaka, to the ground, vehatol shon, and the one who pulls it off, chayev is chayev. Siv Vav, and Siv Vav is going to lead us back into your question that you raised yesterday. So it's not considered, it's considered if the Mishnebura says, look in Siv Kol Lamed Hei Mishnebura, Chai Mishum Oike Dovo Megiduloi. It's considered Oike Dovo Megiduloi. You're uprooting it from its growing place. It's the equivalent of Kaka, although you're right, it is not Mamash Mechuba to the conventional Kaka. Siv Vav, Asovim, Shetoch Von Be'ofam. Grass or anything that blossoms, that flowers, shetoch von be'ofa, that you put in the earth, mibod yoim, before Shabbos came in, kidei shu'lachim, in order to remain moist. In the times of the Shulchan Aruch, you would not put nice flowers for Shabbos. You would not put it in a vase with water. Rather, you'd put it in the earth. You put it in the earth. So if you want to make a nice Shabbos, then you're going to put it in, you're going to take these flowers and you can put it in earth. Why in earth? Because it's also moist. It's also moist. So you put it there in order to keep them fresh. Kidei shulachim, mutalecho is ba'olim v'lo yitzin. You're allowed to take it out. V'hu shaloi ishrishu, that's as long as it didn't take root. V'gam tzorich she'enu yroitze ba'ashroshoson. And it is also as long as you didn't want it actually to take root and grow further. It's only that you wanted it to stay fresh. But if you actually intended to replant it and put it back in there also, then it's also. So it depends on your intention. If your intention is purely to keep it fresh, then it's okay to put it in there and not to uproot it, it's fine. But, because it was only to keep it fresh. However, if your intention wasn't literally to put it in there, to take root and to plant it as it were again, then if you're uprooting it, you're okay. No, because you have miyachad it. Good question. But if it's something you had intention initially to use, then it wouldn't go mukta. Yeah. Yeah.
How does one know if it's taken root or not?
Good question. And when I ask it, good.
And surely it's marasayan, someone passing.
Oh, that's a good one.
Picking a flower or picking a plant and not, which is being just put in there to stay fresh.
Okay, the second question, I do not know the answer. Sounds like a very interesting thought. I do not know the answer to that. Why is it not considered marasayan? I do not know. Perhaps we assume that people are able to differentiate and distinguish between plants that actually grow here and flowers which are put in there. Perhaps people are able to differentiate. Perhaps. But I like the question. Regards to your first question, I'd like to merge your question with your question of yesterday. We've got a bit of a problem, Rabbi Isai. Toilish, what is toilish? What's Melech's toilish? We're talking about toilish. It's not toilish if you are uprooting it. What's toilish generally?
Plucking.
Yeah. That's what it is. So you're taking off. Now, I want to understand something over here. How long would it take for it to, how does this melacha work in the first instance? If we're talking about perhaps about melacha zoirea, it's opposite. How does the melacha work? Because surely, with regards to zoirea, by just putting things on the floor and putting things in earth, are you chayev at that point? Are you chayev by putting seeds in the ground? Are you chayev melechas zoireya? Surely, it takes a bit of time until things start to grow. So I would like to ask now an essential question on melechas zoireya and other melechas as well. But zoireya is a good example. How does melechas zoireya work in the first place? There's a contradiction in terms. On one hand, if you're putting it in there, you cannot be chayev yet, because nothing's happened. On the other hand, when are you going to be chayav? Are you going to be chayav chilul Shabbos on Tuesday? If it takes, let's say it takes 3 days. Come on, say it takes 3 days for it to take root. Does that make sense? 3 days? Come on, says there's machlokes, but let's go for 3 days. 3 days make sense? Let's go for 3 days. So if you plant something on Shabbos, when is it going to take root? Shabbos, Sunday, Monday. So on Monday it's going to take root. It's going to start to develop 3 days later. So, are you going to be chayiv on Tuesday for Chilul Shabbos? Are you going to do Chilul Shabbos on Monday when it took root? Retrospectively? Is that how it works? How can we...
The same as you put tzara, if you place the trap on Shabbos and you know it's only going to walk through there on Wednesday, you're still chayiv, aren't you?
No. No, you won't be chayiv on tzad. Tzad is a good one as well, but tzad you will not be chayiv if no animal got caught. Yeah? So zoreh when you chayav on zoreh? As soon as you do it. Although nothing has happened yet. Would you say that if somebody put something on the ground and it took it out 5 minutes later, is it chayav melechas zoreh on zoreh? Although nothing happened? It's lemaisa, so you're not. You're not chayav. So we've got a bit of a problem over here. Yeah, that's very much the same discussion. Okay, so with regard, oifa is another very good example. Cooking on Shabbos, baking on Shabbos. If you bake something, just you put something in the oven, that's much the case that Chizkinich speaks about. You put something that takes 20 minutes to bake, you put it 5 minutes before Shabbos, you put it in the oven. Are you chayev, yes or no? Did you bake on Shabbos or not? Are you chayev? Did you do melech d'raisa? No, you're not. Why? Because you didn't bake on Shabbos. It's prohibited to eat. But did you do a melacha d'raisa? Okay.
So here it's a creative act.
So you're saying that, so also with regards to the real, the same would be that what? That if you plant, so how are you going to, so melacha's oife, I can hear, because I've got plenty of hours that can be chayav melacha's oife on Shabbos. But with regards to the real, I don't have a way of being oife on Shabbos. So how does a melacha make sense? If you're right that you're not chayav in this, because what's, how can you possibly be oife on melacha's zoireya on Shabbos? Putting it in the ground without it sprouting.
It's a creative act.
And so it means if I put it in, I take it out, I was over on Zerah or not? Okay, so the Mishnah, all the Achonim are very intrigued about this. It's not poshut. It's mamash not poshut. It's in fact very hard to understand. But the Mishnah Berurah, yeah, I just want to quote. I'm going back to the Mishnah Berurah Sifkot Lamed Gimel, because this is the key Mishnah Berurah, widely quoted indeed. In Sifkot Lamed Gimel, the Mishnah Berurah says, the bizman mut kazel it's mechuv kolchkin to leashir shu bekaka. Mashenkin leshlosh shum v'yoyse v'tzmichazroim v'yischayev lemafreya mishum zereya. Okay, these are the words I want to point out. V'yischayev lemafreya mishum zereya. No. If you put something in the ground on Shabbos and it does not grow on Shabbos and it does not grow you put something on and you're taking it out on Shabbos, you're not chayv. In fact, whenever you put something on the ground on Shabbos, you're not chayv yet. So what happens is that if you have not removed it by 3 days' time, if you haven't removed it by Tuesday, by Monday, if you haven't removed it, then you're going to be chayv in retrospectively. In hindsight, you're going to be chayv then. So yes, the answer is you're chayv for the action then, but you've got to wait a few days to see if itaka took place or not. So it's the chayv lemafreya, says the Mishnah Berurah. You're chayv in hindsight, retrospectively. Yeah.
If you have a time switch and the light's not at the moment, and you switch the light now, and then 20 minutes later the time switch switches on, you should also be chayv at that point.
Again?
What's the
if it's on or off at the moment? It's off. Yeah. And you're delaying it. You want to know if you can delay it?
No, it's not delayed, so you should only be chayv when the light comes on later. But you should, but you're not chayv at all. Like grammar. Or any case of grammar, should be this same kind of thing.
This person actually is connected to what it's all connected to what's gonna happen later, no? That's two separate.
I don't understand the comparison.
The case of grammar would be the same as this. But grammar, we say is mutter.
Yeah.
Grammar is mutter. Yeah. It's not direct, but so we should say that grammar should be also according to this, because when the thing actually finally happens, whatever you've done now might take a few minutes, but it's...
I'm not helping you. Okay. I'm not helping. I don't help the comparison. I don't care.
You say the light's going to come on in an hour's time.
If you got a timer, just say the light will come on in 20 minutes.
It's meant to go on in 20 minutes.
It's before Shabbos.
It's now. It's before Shabbos now.
On Shabbos.
No, on Shabbos.
Okay, on Shabbos. It's off now. It's off now. And now it's meant to go on in 20 minutes. And instead of that, you are delaying it to go on at all, or to go on later. It's going on instead of going in 20 minutes. It's going to go on in 40 minutes. Okay. So now the question is, why are you allowed to do that? Who says you're allowed to do it?
According to your svara.
No, I'm not saying you're allowed to do this. Well, who says you're allowed to do it? A grammar, a normal grammar.
If the miser happens in the earth, you see a fire and you pour water on the floor.
So that we said is mutter, yeah.
Why don't we say when the miser happens?
Then retrospectively. Because all you are doing in the mice of grammar is that you're doing a mice which is in that, it's not, you're not doing anything which is a kibui. Torah says you're not allowed to be mechaber, but if you're doing something, you're pouring the water, you're pouring vessels of water in front of the fire, that's all you have done. The kibui happens by the Ribbono Shel Olam's, it's indirect. Over here, however, by planting it, you have caused it to grow in 3 days' time. It's your action, it's very direct. It takes a bit of time, but it's very direct. Does that make sense? Okay, Sif Zayin. Also, Litlosh Afilo Me'otzeshe in the Nokuv. Okay, Otzeshe in the Nokuv is a pot which doesn't have a hole. A flower pot which doesn't have a hole. Imagine that. You've got a, well, are they called flower pots? You know those? Yeah? So sometimes they have a hole underneath and sometimes they don't. Yeah? So imagine it doesn't have a hole, and you want to now pick some the flower from the, you take the flower off the earth, you take it out. Are you allowed to do this or not? Perhaps you could argue it's not connected to the ground. Itaka isn't connected to the ground. Or would you say, no, you're still over on Malacha? What would you say? It's connected to, that's right, that's exactly the point. Says the Shulchan Aruch, Otzit afinu enunokov, and otzit, which means such a flower pot, even if it's not, there's no hole, means it's standing on its own. Yesh leizoyer, Sorry, I skipped. Sorry, going back to Siv Zayin. You're not allowed to pick such a fruit because it is still considered connected to, as you said, to a earth. To the, it's not the ground, but it's still earth. And finally, Siv Ches Otzitz. If there's no hole, you're not allowed to take this otzit she'enu nokuv. You've got an otzit which has, doesn't have a. You're not allowed to take it from the ground and put it on. If it is in its, it's standing in its own. So you've got this flower pot which is inserted in the ground, and you're taking it away from the ground, and you're putting on a bar, on your sedos, on a bar, on metal or something. So you're taking it from the ground, but it's not connected to the ground because it's in a pot. You're taking it and you're putting it somewhere else. So you would have thought perhaps this is mutter, and it should be mutter, because it's not really in the ground. But nevertheless, Shulchan Aruch is teaching us you may not uproot it because there is still some yenika taking place. It's true it's in a pot, but still it's in the, since it's in the earth, it's actually lying in the earth. Therefore, there's still something happening. There's something happening that despite the fact that it has a pot around it, and therefore it's also. Okay, to recap very briefly, we learned about the moss, which you're not allowed to uproot. We learned about the grass, which is which you're allowed to take it from if it's cut grass and it's inserted in the earth, you're allowed to take it out. If it hasn't grown roots yet. And we also learned about the flower pot, which you're not allowed to take the plants from the flower pot, even if it's not connected to the ground. Okay. Good evening.